Hello, and welcome to Living Fit with your hosts, James and Karen Roberts, personal trainers, life coaches, and motivational speakers. This program promotes good health through nutrition and physical activity. If you are interested in starting a personal fitness training program, please contact either Karen Roberts at 336-202-2313 or James Roberts at 336-707-7719. You can also contact them at Facebook at livingfit.com.co. Please consult your medical doctor before starting any exercise program or nutritional plan. And now, here's James and Karen.
Hi, and thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Fit Tip. Today, I want to talk about natural stress remedies to reduce anxiety. Now, even if you're not prone to panic, dealing with day-to-day life is enough to trigger anxiety, even in the most steadfast of us. Sometimes, stress is so strong that there's no way to avoid its negative effects on your mental health, says Dr. Bruce Rabin, professor emeritus of pathology at the University of Pittsburgh. But there is a way to soften the blow with some natural remedies, such as fueling up with the right foods. So while there's no magic supplement to curb your anxiety, there is some good research that certain foods and nutrients may help alleviate its effects, such as probiotic-rich foods. For example, taking a daily dose of pickles, sauerkraut, or kefir. Now, a study in the Journal of Psychiatry Research suggests a link between probiotic foods and a lowering of social anxiety. Another great food would be leafy greens. Studies show having low blood levels of magnesium and low intake of magnesium from foods are each associated with an increased risk of depression. The recommended dietary allowance for adults over the age of 30 is 320 milligrams for women and 420 for men. Some examples would be an ounce or a handful of almonds, which would be 80 milligrams. A half cup of boiled spinach would be 78 milligrams. A half cup of cooked black beans, 60. And 2 tablespoons of peanut butter, which would be 49. So another would be certain spices. So a study published in the Journal of Affective Disorders found that a combination of saffron and curcumin reduced both depression and anxiety in affected patients. Other research suggests that ginger may be an effective spice to reduce anxiety as well. So another suggestion would be being mindful. So whenever you feel anxious, practice some mindfulness techniques, a psychologist at the Cleveland Clinic suggests. Practicing mindfulness teaches us how to stay in the here and now instead of gravitating toward fear and uncertainty in the future. And a great way to do that would be by practicing yoga. A Boston University study found that people who practiced yoga several times a week reported improvements in both depression and anxiety symptoms within just 8 weeks. In fact, staying active in general, especially outdoors, is great for boosting your mood and health. But taking any workout or a walk or anything, taking them outdoors reaps even more anxiety-busting benefits. A study found that people who did their exercises outside reported feeling more energy and less tension and less depression than those who worked out indoors. What's more, a 90-minute walk in nature lowered activity in the part of the brain linked to negative rumination, according to a 2015 study. But if you're somewhere like in an apartment complex or a nursing home where you can't easily get outdoors, then any type of indoor physical activity, even just walking up and down a flight of stairs, can help. So John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid." So trust in God and let His peace keep you anxiety free. And that's my Fit Tip for today. I pray that this message has been a blessing. Please pass it on to family and friends. And remember to tune in to Living Fit with James and Karen Roberts every Tuesday at 11 a.m. on WLJF 100.7 FM, The Joy. And James and I will share more health and wellness information with you. Be blessed and have a terrific Tuesday.
Thank you, Karen. And welcome, everyone, to Living Fit with James and Karen Roberts. Today, we're going to be talking about continuing on our quest for good health. And it's going to take us being more disciplined people. The Bible talks about us being disciples of Christ. What does the Bible say about discipline? It says that if we reject discipline, you only harm yourself. But if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding. Proverbs 15:32. Proverbs 25:23 says, "He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray." If I don't know, I'll go in the wrong direction. Have you ever found yourself walking through the woods surrounded by towering trees, the path ahead unclear and mysterious? In such moments, the choices we make, the paths we decide to tread or to avoid, can make all the difference in reaching our destinations. It's much like the journey of life, where each step we take, each decision we make, shapes our future. Today, we're going to look at ideas crucial to steer us through this complicated pathway of life, understanding what to avoid. This theme is essential as knowing what to pursue in our lives. We often focus on the things we need to do, the goals we must achieve, and the dreams we aspire to realize. But it's equally important for us to recognize the pitfalls, the missteps that can lead us astray, away from our desires, goals, and into the kingdom of regret and missed opportunities. We're going to uncover several significant pitfalls that can subtly yet powerfully divert us from our path to being successful and the fulfillment of good health. These are not just mere obstacles. They are the hidden snares that can ensnare us on our journey to optimal, healthy lives. The importance of being aware of these pitfalls cannot be overstated, for they are the unseen adversaries in our quest for a life well lived. Why not picture yourself on this journey, on this complex landscape? Each step we take is a choice. Each choice brings with it consequences, some seen and some unseen. The wisdom is going to lie not only in knowing where to step, but also where not to. It's about recognizing the quicksand that looks solid, the mirages that appear to be real. As we move forward in our discussion, we'll not just list pitfalls, we'll dig into their essence. We'll explore why they're significant, why we should be cautious of these particular aspects, how they might impact our journey towards success and happiness, and what strategies we can put in place to steer clear of them. Please, let's not just be a spectator on this journey. Take out pen and paper. Take this journey with me so that we can all avoid and be active participants in the art of living a meaningful life. We're about to navigate through the landscape of personal growth, armed with the knowledge of what to avoid. Are you ready to make this informed decision that leads us to our desired destination of reaching physical and mental and spiritual health? Hopefully, when we reach the end, we will all look back at this moment, understanding that it was not just a beginning, but a crucial turning point where we have gained a new perspective, a deeper understanding, and a roadmap for a life that's not just about avoiding pitfalls, but about embracing opportunities that lie beyond them as we step forward from our introduction to this concept of life and pitfalls. Let's focus on the first and perhaps one of the most deceptive ones, being complacent. Complacency, my friends, is like sitting comfortably in a boat, drifting in the current, unaware of the fact that you're moving away from the shore. It's a subtle trap. one that lures us into a false sense of security, whispering that what we have achieved so far, that there's no need to strive for more. Let me tell you this, you need to strive for more. Let me tell you a story. Once there was a farmer who was known for his beautiful, fertile land. Year after year, the fields yielded more crop than any other in the region. He became so confident in his method and his land's natural reward that he decided to rest. He thought, my land is so rich and it will continue to provide for me. But as time passed, the once fertile land yielded less and less. The farmer realized his mistake too late. His complacency had cost him everything. The very thing he had taken for granted, his lands and property. This story mirrors our lives. In many ways, just like the farmer, we too become complacent about our achievements. We reach a certain level of success, skill, or comfort, and we start to believe that that's all we need to do. We stop growing, we stop learning, we stop challenging ourselves. But let me remind you, the moment we stop growing is the moment we backslide. Now, you might wonder how we recognize and combat this complacency. Well, the first step is we need to be self-aware. It's essential to regularly take inventory of our lives, our goals, and our progress. We need to ask ourselves, yes, put yourself in there. Say, I, when you write this down, say, I'm growing or I'm going through the motions. This kind of complacency, this self-analysis, is going to be a beacon that guides us from the complacent shores. The next step is to embrace continuous learning. The world, my friend, is a vast storage house of knowledge, and every day offers a new lesson. You just can't rely on Karen and I or any coach just to give you information and then you not implement it. You have to also read, study, and apply yourself. No student goes to school and just goes, sits in class, and expects the teacher to teach you all of it. No, this small, consistent learning contributes to significant growth over time. Then there's the power of the goal settings. Goals are like the star sailors use to navigate by at night. They keep us moving in the right direction. Set goals that challenge you and push you out of your comfort zone. And remember, it is the process of moving towards a goal is more important and more valuable than reaching it. Also, let's not forget the importance of surrounding ourselves with people who inspire growth, who you're going to be the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Surround yourself with people who challenge you and push you to be better, who don't let you settle for mediocrity. Another crucial aspect is to embrace change. Change is inevitable, but growth is optional. We must be willing to adapt, to evolve with the times. The most dangerous phrase in our language is, we've always done it this way. Embrace new methods, new ideas, new technologies. They are the winds of change that propel us toward going forward. You can't go to a coach and not be willing to at least participate in what he's trying to do. Then, like I said, once you start making these changes, let me encourage you to celebrate the achievement, but don't dwell on them. It's okay to take pride in what you've accomplished, that you've made some good strides, but don't let yesterday's success become tomorrow's enemy of your growth. Listen, always keep moving and looking forward toward new targets and exploring new horizons. As we transition from the topic of complacency, let's turn our attention to another critical aspect that shapes our journey, the influence of our surroundings and the people in our lives. Imagine, if you will, that your mind is a garden. What you plant in this garden is what you're going to get out of it. And the environment we expose our garden to ultimately is going to determine the health and vitality of our garden. Negative influences, my friends, are like weeds in this garden. They can creep up unnoticed, grow rapidly, and if not removed, they can overtake the beauty and the productivity of our space. These influences come in many forms. Negative people, destructive habits like not doing enough physical activity, making poor food choices, watching too much television and being on a computer too much, they can erode our positivity and dampen our spirits and veer us off the path to the best possible person we can be. So how do we recognize these negative influences? Well, it starts with the word awareness. Pay attention to how you feel after interacting with people or food or not exercising or television. Do they make you feel inspired and motivate you, or do they make you feel drained and anxious and discouraged? These feelings are indicators guiding us to identify what lifts us up and what pulls us down. The next step is setting boundaries. This is not always easy, especially when the negative influences come from close quarters. It could be family members, could be friends, could be colleagues. But remember, the right to protect your mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being is of great importance. It's about finding the balance between compassion for others and the care for your own person. Sometimes this might mean having difficult conversations or stepping back from certain relationships. Other times it might simply be a matter of not exposing ourselves to negative social news and entertainment. It's also essential to proactively seek positive influences. Find the good coaches, read the good books, surround yourself with people who inspire you, encourage you, and mentor you to be your best. It's about self-seek out media and education that uplifts and enriches you. Cultivate a habit that strengthens your mental, spiritual, emotional, and health, physical well-being. Like a gardener who carefully picks his seeds and plants his garden, we have to realize our life's the same way. Another powerful strategy is the practice of positive affirmations and self-talk. What we tell ourselves on a daily basis can reinforce our resilience against negative influences, cultivate a habit of speaking to ourselves with kindness, encouragement, and positivity. This internal dialogue can be a powerful shield against external negativity. Finally, let's talk about the power of reflection and heart searching regularly. Take the time to reflect on your life, your goals, and the influences around you. This can be through journaling, prayer, meditation, exercise, whatever it takes. The practice helps in identifying not just the sources of negativity, but also reinforcing your commitment to a positive and growth-oriented path. In finishing up this part, let's remember that shunning negative influences is not about creating a bubble around ourselves. It's about conscious choices, about what we allow in our lives. It's about nurturing our spiritual, mental, emotional, physical health, our garden, and taking care of it, ensuring that it's a place of growth, positivity, and beauty. It's about recognizing that while we can't control everything around us, we can control our responses and our choices in this journey of life. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." You can respect people and tell them what you're doing. As we navigate through these waves of different influences, let's be the captains of our own ships. Let's choose to sail in waters that uplift us and empower us and bring us to the best person we could possibly be. Let's choose to surround ourselves with the right people, the right thoughts, and the right environment. 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul says this, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." Bad people will cause you to do things that you should not be doing. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Only we can decide who we're going to hang around, how they're going to influence us. Remember, the influences you allow in your life today shape the person you become tomorrow. Now, take a moment to reflect on the influences in your own life. Are they helping you grow? Are they holding you back? Are they nurturing your garden? Or are they choking your growth? You have to make a commitment to yourself to cultivate a life filled with positive influences and a choice that will determine the quality of your life, happiness, and having navigated through these treacherous waters of negative influences. Let's now turn our focus to a challenge that is as old as time. The lure of short-term temptation versus the rewards of long-term thinking. This is a crucial aspect of our journey, one that often decides the course of our lives in a profound way. Imagine, if you will, a little boy who goes into a room with given a choice of candy bars, one candy bar. But then they said, "Well, if you wait 15 minutes, not only get the one candy bar, but you'll get the candy bar and you'll get to play with the toy." This scenario, classic as it is for physiological experiments, is a fundamental aspect of the human nature, the struggle between immediate allure of gratification and the rewards of being patient. And for many of us, like the child, often the temptation of immediate reward, the quick fix, the short-term gain, is the one we choose. But the true essence of success and fulfillment lies in our ability to resist these temptations and focus on the long term. Think about a farmer who plants a tree. They don't expect a harvest of fruits the very next day or even the next year. They understand it takes seasons of nurturing and watering and patience before the tree matures and yields the fruit. This is a powerful metaphor for our own goals and dreams, whether it's building a career, nurturing a relationship, or developing good health. The real fruits of our labor often take time to manifest. The question then arises, how do we cultivate this mindset of long-term thinking? And foremost, it begins with having a clear, very clear vision, knowing what you truly want in life, not just for today or tomorrow, but for the long haul. The vision acts like a compass, guiding your decisions and actions, helping you to resist the distractions and the temptations and deviate you from the ultimate goal. Another key element is to practice the delay of gratification. It's about making choices that might not offer immediate rewards, but are aligned with your long-term goals. It's about understanding that the best things in life are often those that require time, effort, and patience. Let's also talk about setting and sticking to priorities in a world filled with endless distractions. It's easy to lose sight of what's truly important by setting clear priorities and aligning your actions with those. You create a buffer against the allure of these short-term temptations. Moreover, it's vital to recognize and celebrate small victories along the way. Long-term thinking doesn't mean ignoring the present. It's about finding joy and motivation in the small steps you take towards the bigger goal. The small victories keep you motivated and focused, reinforcing your commitment to the long-term vision. It's also helpful to surround yourself with people who share your long-term outlook. They can offer support, guidance, and a perspective that keeps you anchored to a long-term goals as we continue on our journey. Now, let's now address a formidable barrier that often stands in the way of our dreams and aspirations. This fear, my friends, is like a shadow that follows us, whispering doubts, uncertainties, trying to hold us back from taking the steps that lead to the growth and success. Consider the story of Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison failed thousands of times before he ever created and found success. But in the face of failure, he thought sometimes he was just not good enough. But instead of succumbing to these fears, he chose to embrace, and he understood that in each failure was not a stop sign, but rather a stepping stone and a lesson that brought him closer to his ultimate goal. And indeed, his persistence paid off, leading him to the breakthrough. And he finally invented the bulb. We wouldn't have lights today if it weren't for that. So history is filled with examples like this. People persevere. Their stories are not defined by absence of failure, but by their resilience in the face of failure. How then do we cultivate this resilience? How do we then turn fear of failure into a catalyst for success? It begins with a shift in perspective. Instead of viewing failure as a negative, see it as a necessary part of the learning process. Every mistake, every setback is an opportunity to learn, to grow. And it's also about setting realistic expectations, understanding that the path to success is rarely a straight line. 2 Timothy 2:4-7. Paul says, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day, and not just to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. Paul was confident in his salvation and his eternal destiny. As Paul's result, Paul could praise God, even in prison, though he expected to soon die. Just like Paul, we all must suffer pain and or regret. But Paul counted it as a blessing to be able to serve God. And I hope that's the way you see it too. To live your bodies as a living sacrifice. Keep living fit and doing what matters to you.
Thank you for listening to Living Fit. Please consult a physician or a fitness professional before beginning any activity if you are under their care. If you would like to contact James or Karen, you can do so through the website, Facebook at livingfit.com.co, or call. Until next time, keep living fit and do what matters. Thank you.